Our lesson this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, understanding God's supernatural gifts for service. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered in Corinth in Acts chapter 18, verse 10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials that he faced there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 11, Paul gave an overview of the supernatural gifts that God gives to believers at salvation for them to perform effective spiritual service. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and edification. This was a big problem, incidentally, at Corinth. They were abusing instead of properly using the spiritual gifts. So, but we're the blessed because Paul went into detail as to what's going on with spiritual gifts, what they are, what they aren't, and so forth. So we'll start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of being able to gather together in a fellowship around your word. We ask for wisdom as we get involved in this passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, that we might understand what the Spirit of God led the Apostle Paul to write, that we might apply it to for the edification of the body. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord," that's the God of the Old Testament, "but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Holy Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in every way. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to every man to profit the greater good," or that's the body as a whole. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of the languages. But all these are working that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Okay. I wanted to pull from a passage that we don't have in 1 Corinthians, because this very applies. The first point is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It teaches that every believer has received a supernatural gift from God for spiritual service. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you were saved, you were given a supernatural enabling from God to serve for the needs of the local church that you're in, or the local church to which the Lord sends you and hooks you up. So nobody can say, no believer can say that I'm not spiritually gifted. You are. You might not understand that spiritual gift yet, but I'm convinced that when a person is in fellowship with the Lord, the Lord's already using his gift, even if the believer doesn't know it. Because the Apostle Paul, incidentally, never says, "Now try to find out what your gift is." What he does in writing to the church is he assumes that everybody knows what the gifts are because it sticks out all over the people. This is why Paul said, "Not all speak in tongues, now do they? Not all do this, do they?" And these are rhetorical questions expecting a negative answer. So one of the best ways to find out what your gift is ask other Christians. Other Christians will tell you how you bless them. And you're going to notice a pattern, whether you're in one particular local church or elsewhere. Sometimes you can meet a believer who's a stranger, and sometimes within a minute they can tell you what your gift is because of the way you're ministering to them. So every one of us who knows Christ as Savior were given a supernatural gift at salvation in order to minister to the body of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 5 and verse 11 then reveals that these gifts are provided by the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, and one can discern that his supernatural enabling is of the Holy Spirit and not from a demonic spirit by the fact that the believer by the Holy Spirit confesses that Jesus is God. Now, that's the word God from the Old Testament, where evil spirits claim that Jesus is accursed. So this is how you can tell. If you have a supernatural gift, how do you know it's from God and not from Satan? If it were from Satan, you would call Jesus accursed, and that would be your belief. But if you receive that spiritual gift from the Lord, you would confess that Jesus Christ is God, that he's the God of the Old Testament. Now, the spiritual gifts vary widely in the ways that they are applied. There are various gifts or abilities from God. This is the word charisma. We get the word charismatic movement from this. Charismatic movement is a movement that focuses heavily on spiritual gifts. But charisma is various gifts. Then there are various ministries, diakonia. We get the word deacon from this. There are various ministries. For example, you might have a spiritual gift, but your ministry is connected with something within Nepog Church, if you're coming to Nepog Church. It's not a ministry that's located in some other church or some function or a mission field. And then there are various activities, energema. We get the word energy from this, energema. Those are activities. For example, I'll just give you myself as an example. My spiritual gift is pastor, teacher. My ministry is Nepog Bible Church. And my spiritual gift is the word of knowledge. I was told that when I was ordained, there were 7 Baptist pastors that were there, and they said, your gift is, we're going to put this in the minutes of the church. They said, you have a capacity to recall facts and share those facts. Incidentally, that type of a gift is especially needed where there's a lot of satanic activity, because where Satan dwells, he often deceives people with that which is erroneous. And so God's people really need that type of a ministry. So anyway, there are various gifts, there are various ministries or assignments, and then there are various activities. Now, this vast array of God's application of the gifts shows that it is unwise to compare ourselves with others. There is no other Christian who has your gift with your ministry assignment with the activities that God wants you to do. You are unique that way. And the reason for that is God has built the church in such a way that when he plugs believers in, especially to local churches, he plugs them in there because there's a special need for that particular gift with that particular ministry and the particular activities that that person can do and is good at for that particular local church. Now, only God can do this, but that's what he does. He plugs everything in properly. So don't compare yourself with someone else. A lot of Christians make a mistake. They'll compare themselves with Billy Graham or some other leader or even a leader within a local church. That's very unwise to do, because God doesn't want you to be that person. He wants you to be you, because you offer something that is unique and that is desperately needed by the local church in which you're in. Now, each spiritual gift performing in its respective role and activity is designed by the Lord to profit the common good, that is, the rest of the church, not just to edify the person who has the gift. Now, it's true that you can edify your gift. You can edify yourself with the gift that you have, because often you're the first one to partake of the blessings of that. But that's not the goal. The goal from God's perspective is to reach out and minister to other believers, not just to yourself. So it's very important that we be in contact with other believers. And this obviously involves mixing it up in the local church, mixing it up with other people. Now, Paul explained this division of some of the gifts and some of their applications in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. The reason I said some is because he does not, by any stretch of the imagination, give a complete list of the spiritual gifts that are here. You've got other gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. You've got other gifts, I think, in 1 Peter 4. There are other passages, I can't think of them all right now, that deal with the various spiritual gifts. I mean, there are gifts of helps, there are gifts of exhortation, go on, administration, that are not necessarily listed here. For example, to one believer is given through the Holy Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Such a believer has the capacity to apply God's word in a very practical way that greatly edifies listeners. To another believer is given through the Holy Spirit the utterance of knowledge. Such a believer has the capacity to retain and recall biblical facts to a significant degree so that he can teach others the truth in times of need for their understanding and edification. To another believer is given an unusual ability to believe God for achieving great things. And I think a lot of missionaries have this gift. They have a capacity, they can go off into the boondocks somewhere, you know, just a totally uncharted territory. And before you know it, they've got a ministry going. They've got a church there, and they have people coming to know the Lord. And the Apostle Paul had, this is one of the gifts that he had. Of course, the apostles had all the gifts, we believe. But he didn't want to build on anybody else's foundation, so he kept looking for places where gospel had not been presented. He would go there and he would evangelize, and he was very effective. To another believer, and this is in the early church era, was given the supernatural gift to heal anyone of any physical disease or injury. And along with this gift of healing, we also believe would be the power to raise a person from the dead. Now, this gift does not exist today. We don't have people going around raising people from the dead. So we don't believe that this gift was here. This was a gift in the early church. And God gave that gift as a sign gift. Paul had this gift. Remember, there was a man who went to sleep, a young man. He was in a third-story window. He fell out of it, and three stories, and he died. And Paul went down and raised him from the dead. The apostle Peter raised Dorcas, I think it was, from the dead. So that was a gift that they had then. Another believer in the early church was given the supernatural gift to perform miracles. To another believer in the early church was given the supernatural gift to prophesy with perfect, consistent accuracy, 1 Corinthians 12:10. It's true that you would have Jean Dixon, who was a prophetess, but she was a false prophet. She batted 400. In other words, a little less than half of her prophecies came true. And we had a believer that visited her one time and asked her how people got to heaven, and she said, by doing good works. And the believer said, no, that's not true. Salvation is by faith in Christ. And the believer who was talking with her was Hal Lindsey. Remember, he was the author of The Late Great Planet Earth, and Hal Lindsey is a believer. And he had not introduced his name, but all of a sudden her voice changed, and she said, I know who you are. You're Hal Lindsey. Get out. And so he did, but we believe that Gene Dixon had been led by demons. Well, the difference between prophesying by demons and prophesying by the Spirit of God, Deuteronomy 18:20-22, is a true prophet bats 1,000. Every single prophecy he predicts comes true. A false prophet will fail on one or more. So that's how you know the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. To another believer was given the ability to discern between good and evil spirits. I'm not sure if that gift is still existing today or if it was only in the early church. To another believer in the early church was given the ability to speak with various human languages supernaturally without having learned those languages. We don't have this gift today. I know the charismatics say that they're speaking with angelic tongues and whatnot. That's not true. The languages that God gave in Acts 2, 7 through 11 were actually human languages. The people who were listening could actually hear the languages that were spoken to them. They said, we're hearing them speak about the wonderful words of God and then name the human languages. So they have to be, in fact, they're all Gentile languages. Not one of the languages were used was Hebrew, but all of the languages they were speaking were Gentile languages. So this was a sign to Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, that they were in trouble from the Lord because God was speaking to them in Gentile languages. We believe that gift passed off the scene very early. There's a church father by the name of Chrysostom who wrote a commentary on 1 Corinthians. And when he got to the issue of tongues, he said, I don't know what this gift was. Now, he was writing in the 4th century, which means that the gift had passed off the scene at least 100 or 150 years before his time. And that argues for the fact that the Holy Spirit stopped giving the gift of tongues at the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70, which also further goes along with the belief that we have that the spiritual gift was tongues was given in order to make people in Israel see the need that they needed to repent. But once God stopped working with the nation of Israel, he put her aside temporarily, and he's going to work with her again in the Great Tribulation. But once he put her aside, the spiritual gift of tongues should have ceased. And there's every historical indication that that is exactly what happened. So we don't have the gift of tongues today, and the ability to speak in a human languages. So to one believer is given the ability to speak in human languages without having heard the languages. To another believer in the early church was given the ability to interpret different languages. And these would be human languages, Gentile languages. Well, Paul added that the Holy Spirit empowers each believer's spiritual gift for service. He is also the one who apportions to each believer the gift that believer has as the Holy Spirit wills. You notice that in verse 11. To all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. This shows us that we're never supposed to pray and say, God, give me the gift of tongues, or God, give me the gift of healing, or you pick your gift. No. God gives that, and he gives that supernaturally because of the way he wills. The gift that you receive, the gift that I receive, is a gift that is given to us, because that's what the Holy Spirit wants that particular believer to have. So it's all sovereignly by God. So nobody chooses his own spiritual gift that he desires to possess. For what he has been given by the Holy Spirit is sovereignly given to him at salvation by the Holy Spirit. So the lesson is, every believer has been sovereignly assigned and given a supernatural spiritual gift for ministry that equips him under the Holy Spirit's enabling to minister in a special ministry with special activity to edify the rest of the body of Christ. One's supernatural gifting is thus discerned to be of the Holy Spirit by the believer's capacity to confess that Jesus is the Lord. And that contrasts with evil spirits that call Jesus accursed. So the application is, may we accept the spiritual gift that God has given us and use it in the ministry in which he has put us, with the activities that we can perform with God's enabling for the spiritual building up or the edification of other believers. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback on this subject.